Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is episode F-170. And where did my hair go? Where did the hair go? I got a haircut yesterday, and they got rid of all of it. I think it might be a little too short. Just a little bit. Just a hair short. Yeah, could have had it. But whatever, it'll grow. I don't know what to do with my hair. These waves, the waves and the curls make it very complicated, and I just don't know what to do. But they shaved my face, too, so I look very mature now. But I'm not. Wah! All right, the first word in this episode is forbid. F-O-R-B-I-D. First form. This is the transitive form from the before the 12th century. I believe it is only transitive. So, number one, to proscribe from or as if from the position of one in authority, and also command against. Proscribe, that is not a word that I have seen before. To proscribe, I've seen prescribe. Get some prescriptions from the doctor. To proscribe from, or as if from, the position of one in authority. The example, maybe this will help. The law forbids stores to sell liquor to minors. I know what that means, but when I read the definition, I don't understand it at all. Command against, that one helps. We are commanding you against doing something. We are telling you, no, you cannot. I'm so sorry. No, you are a minor. You're under 21 in most states in America, or all states in America. You cannot buy alcohol. So the law is saying, the law is commanding against stores selling liquor to minors. And if they do, they might get in trouble. But that first one is so weird, to proscribe from or as if from the position of one in authority. And I don't know what proscribe means, so I got to go to the P's to read that. The other example is her mother forbids her to go. The mother is the one in authority, and she is commanding against her daughter from going. Where? Where does her daughter want to go? She just wants to go to the arcade and play some games. Number two. To hinder or prevent as if by an effectual command, as in, space forbids further treatment here. So this one is less of something or someone saying you cannot or can or cannot do this thing. This is more about like, well, I like the space idea. Oh, well, the space forbids us from putting an elephant in the room, because the space is not that big, right? I think that's what we're talking about. But the example sentence is weird. Space forbids further treatment here. What further treatment? Can we make these things just more literal, more clear, more whatever for weird brains like myself, like mine? I just make it more clear is all. Forbidder is a noun. What does the etymology have to say? It's from the Old English forbjodan, which is from for, the prefix for, plus bjodan, which means to bid. So, I bid you farewell, I bid you adieu, I bid you to do this thing, I'm telling you to do this thing. But the for prefix is saying, now what the bid, I guess it depends on what bid means exactly, because there's different definitions for bid. Let's see. Because the for prefix can be either, where did it go? It can either be, nope, sorry, can't do this thing, or it's completely do this thing, or destructively or detrimentally. I don't know. That one's a little bit more confusing. So I think it's more about the nope, you can't do this, or yes, do it totally. And there's too many definitions of bid. There's just too many. Tell. An issue in order to tell somebody to do this thing. That. So I think for bid is you are completely telling them to do a thing because it's illegal or whatever. Sure. Okay. Close enough. Close enough. So now we have synonym information for forbid. Forbid, prohibit, interdict, inhibit, mean to debar one from doing something or to order that something not be done. So do a thing, don't do a thing. All those words mean that. But specifically, forbid implies that the order is from one in authority and that obedience is expected. I'm an authority, a position of authority. I expect you to do this thing. I am the host of this podcast. I forbid you to listen to any other podcasts, and that is something that I can say. The example is, smoking is forbidden in the building. The people who run the building own the building. They are the ones in authority, and they say, no, 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 we do not like smoking here because it makes people's unhealthy. If you want to do it, you got to get out of here, and then you can come back later. Stinking like cigarettes. Prohibit suggests the issuing of laws, statutes, and regulations, as in prohibited the sale of liquor. So prohibit is talking about there are laws in place that prohibit something, stop something from happening. Forbid, it's not so much about the legal. You can, it's more about who's an authority and they say what goes. Has nothing to do with what's legal or illegal in the eyes of the law. The example is, oh, we already read that. Interdict or interdict, because sometimes the deceit, I think it's interdict, I don't know. I've come across this word before. Interdict. Oh man, now I really want to check it because I feel like a dope if I don't get it correct. Okay, we got a lot of IN words. And I know I've seen this word before, and I think it's interdict, but it just sounds so weird. It's going to be on this page. Maybe two pages too far. Here. Oh, it's going to be over here. Interdict. Yes, it is interdict. Okay, it just seems weird. Interdict implies prohibition by civil or ecclesiastical authority, usually for a given time or a declared purpose, as in practices interdicted by the church. This is religious churchy word, right? It's ecclesiastical, and then of course the example had the word church in there. In practices interdicted by the church. The church says what is good and not good. Inhibit implies restraints or restrictions that amount to prohibitions, not only by authority, but also by the exigencies of the time or situation, as in conditions inhibiting the growth of free trade. Whoa, we are dealing with a free trade prohibiting free trade situation right now in what day am I recording this on? April 25th. I guess a lot of the tariffs were gotten rid of, but now we still got the tariffs with China that are like 145%. This is madness is what it is. Conditions inhibiting the growth of free trade. There is a certain person who is doing that. That was a long description for inhibit. Restraints and restrictions that amount to prohibitions not only by authority, but also by the exigencies of the time or situation. All right. it's a combination of maybe prohibit and forbid and stuff. All right. Now, I got to make a sound effect, which is going to be, I forbid you. Remember, I forbid you from listening to other podcasts. The second form of forbid is an adjective from 1606. It is archaic, and the synonym is accursed. Maybe you could also say accursed. It's the word cursed with AC at the beginning, an additional AC. The example is, he shall live a man forbid. And that is a quote from Shakespeare. He shall live a man accursed. Does that mean he has been cursed? Did the witches curse him? So he is living forbid. I don't really know how that word was meant to be used. Like, what does forbid mean in that context exactly? What's the etymology of it? I don't know. Now we have forbiddance. This word looks like forbid dance. Ooh, dance is forbidden. Or, ooh, the forbidden dance. Forbid dance. This is a noun from circa 1611. It is the act of forbidding, which is coming up. We got more forbid words. Forbidden. Adjective from the 13th century. Number one, not permitted or allowed. So you are describing something. Maybe this podcast is a forbidden podcast in your household. You are not allowed to check out this podcast because Spencer is just so great that I don't know where we're going with this. Number two, for forbidden, not conforming to the usual selection principles. This is used of quantum phenomena, as in forbidden transition, also forbidden radiation, also, again, forbidden spectral line. Yeah, what does this mean? Not conforming to the usual selection principles. The quantum particles are like, nah, I don't want to do what you want me to do, what you think I'm going to do. Those selection principles, they're not for me. They're just not for me. I'm going to do the forbidden dance and walk along the spectral line the way that I want to walk along the spectral line and radiation and transition. Forbidden. Okay. What else? What is forbidden? Well, it gets its own entry, forbidden fruit. Two words. I think that's typically the thing that most people think of when they think of what's forbidden. Forbidden fruit is going to be the thing that most people think of first. But, you know, there's also forbidden other things. Forbidden not foods. Forbidden stores. So forbidden fruit is a noun from 1605. 1605. Interesting. Interesting year for this specific word. It is an immoral or illegal pleasure. So we are not literally talking about the forbidden fruit, which the etymology will talk about. We're using that as a concept, as an idea, to talk about what is something that people think is immoral or illegal to do, but it brings you pleasure. I want to do this thing so bad because it makes me happy and feel good mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually, but it is illegal or it is frowned upon or it's immoral, but maybe that's a judgment. So where does this word come from? You probably know. It is from the forbidden fruit of the Garden of Eden in the book of the Bible, Genesis 3:2-19. That's where the forbidden fruit gets mentioned. The typical story is that the snake said to Eve, here, eat this apple. It is forbidden. You are not allowed to eat this apple. But I think that you should eat this apple because apples are so tasty and healthy for you. Because you know that if you eat an apple a day, the doctor shall stay away forever. As long as you are eating the apples, because they are so healthy for you. and I am a snake, and I know all the things about human biology. And then Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and she said, hey, what is happening? Everything is weird. Why am I naked? And then Adam was like, let me eat that fruit too. I don't know what the full story is. But the fruit was something illegal. God said, you shall not eat apples. That is the one commandment I have. But it brings me so much pleasure. So I shall eat it. I don't care what you think. Next we have forbidding with an ing, adjective from 1599. Number one, such as to make approach or passage difficult or impossible. Such as to make approach or passage difficult. The example is forbidding walls. Oh, these walls, I keep on walking into them. They're making my passage through the wall difficult, so they're forbidding me from walking through them. Damn you, walls. Number two, the synonyms are disagreeable and repellent, as in a forbidding task. That task is so hard, it repels me from wanting to even try it. Why would I do that? Maybe I should have felt more strongly about making this podcast as a, that was a forbidding task, but I said, no, it's disagreeable, but I shall overcome and proceed through the wall. Number three, the synonyms are grim and menacing, as in a dark, forbidding sky. Ooh, that sky is so scary. That's a scary sky. There's going to be a big storm coming. Some people don't look at skies as grim or menacing, that type of sky with the big storm clouds. They're like, ooh, it's storm time. Let's get all cozy at home and listen to the storm. Forbiddingly is an adverb. Now we go to forebode. It's a variant of forebode, spelled F-O-R-E-B-O-D-E. And this one in this episode has no E in the middle. And that word is going to be like three episodes from now. Next is forby? Forby. I would have said forby, but it's forby, spelled F-O-R-B-Y, or you can add an E after the Y, which is interesting. Forby, although that one makes more sense, although both of them make more sense now that I think about it. Forby, we have the word in English, B-Y. We also have the word in English, B-Y-E, both pronounced by. Bye-bye, forby. So that's what this is. It's a preposition from the 14th century. If this word had been spelled F-O-R-B-I-E, then it would have been forby, but it's forby. Number one is archaic. 1A, the synonym is past. 1B, the synonym is near. So something that is in the past is forby. It has been past, or it is near. It's coming near. It is forby. Number two is chiefly Scottish, and the synonym is besides. So is that like beside you, next to you, adjacent to you, or is that besides like other than? Besides that, this, I don't really know how the Scottish people use it. So the etymology, basically it's from for, F-O-R-E, plus by, B-Y. And I mean, I guess we'll learn about F-O-R-E in a couple of episodes. So it's not the F-O-R prefix. You'd think it would be because of how it's spelled. Why didn't they put the E in there? F-O-R-E, B-Y-E. We got another one. Naughty, naughty. We have forby again. It's the second form. Adverb from 1590. It is chiefly Scottish, and the synonyms are, well, there's one, besides, But we have a little bit more information because it also says in addition. So not besides as in other than, it's besides as in more? Besides? In addition, come into the situation. For by. I don't know how this gets used in a sentence. I don't even know if the Scottish people are using this. If you are Scottish, are you using this word? Is this something that you are saying on the regular? It's from the 1500s or earlier. For by. I would love to know how to use this. Maybe I could figure out how to use this. All right, we're going on to our last word. It's a big one. It's the word force, F-O-R-C-E. First form, noun from the 14th century. Oh, let's do it. Let's just read all these definitions. Number 1A, 1A1, that is what it is. Strength or energy, exerted or brought to bear. Also, cause of motion or change. Also, active power. Those are all three different versions of the same definition. The examples are the forces of nature, also the motivating force in her life. What is the thing? So the first part is strength or energy exerted. You're putting energy into a thing. Oh, maybe you, when you're sitting on the toilet, don't be forcing it. You're not supposed to. Also, cause of motion or change, the thing that is making the change happen, the motion happen. And then active power. How do you use that? What is the active power? Is that the forces of nature? That's an active power. Nature's very strong. The motivating force in her life. Which one is that? That is the cause or motion of change or change. The cause of motion or change. That is the what is the motivating force in your life? What is the thing that's sort of making you go on a path? Is it your own choice? Is it your own motivation, your goal? What is it? And where does that come from? Is that to force or is there something else? You know, for me, my body is one of the forces in my life motivating me to do things because I have back problems. And so I have learned that if I exercise regularly and stretch, more importantly, then I may not have so many back problems. It seems to be helping. It's still not great, but it's better. And so that is a motivating force in my life to take time almost every day to do those things. It has affected how I live my life. Another motivating force in my life is just the urge and want to make movies and make silly stuff and learn. And so that's why this podcast is here. And that's why I'm helping to produce a movie. And, you know, so what are the motivating forces in your life? Everybody's got at least one thing sort of sending them on a path, whether they can't help it or they are choosing to do it. You know, you were born with this body, and our genetics, I think, are a big motivating force in how our life goes. If you are someone who has been born to physically be a dwarf, let's call out my past guest, Christoph, from he was on the episode with the word dwarf, that has sent his life down a very specific path. And of course, you know, the possibilities are endless. All right, that was the first definition for force. We gotta chatter less because this is gonna take a while. 1A2, this would be capitalized, and this is used with a number to indicate the strength of the wind according to the Beaufort scale, as in the example, a force 10 hurricane. That hurricane has a lot of force. 10 might be the biggest number in that situation, in the Beaufort scale. 1B, moral or mental strength is force. 1C, capacity to persuade or convince, as in the force of the... No, wait, did I? Yes. The force of the argument. The force of the argument was the capacity to persuade or convince. How forceful? How much capacity is this argument persuading or convincing you? can I persuade you to eat less meat and dairy? How much force, how hard will I try? I'll recommend it. I'll talk about it sometimes. You got to do what you got to do. 2A, military strength is force. 2B1, a body, as of troops or ships, assigned to a military purpose. 2B2 is plural, so you'd say the forces. The whole military strength as of a nation. All of the military strength from a certain country, that would be the forces, the military forces. 2C, a body of persons or things available for a particular end, as in a labor force, also the missile force. The missile force, all of the people making missiles? The labor force. Ooh, the labor force is big. There's a lot of people just doing manual labor and more. 2D, an individual or group having the power of effective action, as in, join forces to prevent violence. An individual or group having the power or effective action. Join forces. The forces are coming together. The individuals, the groups are coming together to work together to make some change. Maybe we see some of that when there are these big protests saying, oh, you know, women are people, science is real. Hands off. What was the last one that we just had? That was the hands off protest. That was pretty recent. There was a lot of stuff in that. There's another example. A force in politics. A force in politics. People in politics trying to do stuff. 2E is often capitalized. The synonym is police force. And this is usually used with the word the force. When you say the force, you're probably talking about Star Wars. No, you're talking about the police people, the force. 3, violence, compulsion, or constraint exerted upon or against a person or thing. Violence, compulsion, or constraint exerted on or against a person or a thing. Is this violence, that is quite a thing. There's other, you know, pushing. I'm gonna push this music stand, push this desk. I'm gonna put some force onto this camera. Ooh, it's moving. That's a bad idea. Let's leave it where it is. But yeah, this one is more about other bad stuff. Violence, compulsion. Yeah. 4A, an agency, oh, this is a long one. Get ready. 4B is also long. 4A, an agency or influence that, if applied to a free body, results chiefly in an acceleration of the body and sometimes in elastic deformation and other effects. And this is, I think, the people who study the physics are learning about this type of force. But let's talk about 4B. Any of the natural influences, like electromagnetism, gravity, the strong force, and the weak force, any of those things that exist especially between particles and determine the structure of the universe. Yes, I took a science class all about Einstein and, you know, the science around Einstein, and we learned about these things. These are these four natural forces in the universe. Electromagnetism, that's electricity and magnetism all together. Gravity, which is actually quite weak. The strong force and the weak force. What are those doing? I don't know. One's strong and one is weak. They maybe could have come up with better names. But all of those are the forces, the things. So it's not that surprising that in Star Wars that they called it the Force, because we were already using words for these weird things out there in the universe that are affecting us all the time that we can't see. We can do things to show them, like magnets. You can see how that works, but you can't see these things. And so, yeah, the Force was a good use of the word in the Star Wars. But yeah, so 4A, an agency or influence that, if applied to a free body, results chiefly in an acceleration of the body and sometimes in elastic deformation and other effects. So I put some force behind this banana. If I throw it, then I will be causing it to do stuff. Yeah, I did not do the physics, but I've heard, you know, there's the, you put some effort into something and something's going to happen. You got two things, they hit each other with an equal and opposite reaction, whatever those phrases are. Something. Maybe we should put some links in the show notes for force in physics and these four natural forces and, I don't know, something. If you're sciencely inclined, then maybe you would like to learn more, or maybe you already know more and you definitely know more than me, which is very possible. Number 5, the quality of conveying impressions intensely in writing or speech, as in, stated the objectives with force. The quality of conveying impressions intensely in writing or speech. What are the types of words that you're using? Are you trying to be forceful with your words when you're trying to state the objectives? This is a thing that you got to do, and it's really, really important, and if you don't do it, everybody's going to die. That would be pretty forceful. A synonym for the whole thing is the word power. Forceless is an adjective. I feel forceless sometimes. I can't use the force. I can't get my lightsaber from over there. I'm forceless. We have a phrase in force. Number 1, in great numbers, as in picnickers were out in force. There were so many people picnicking. Their blankets were all up against each other and nobody could walk anywhere except for walking on their other people's blankets. Number 2, the synonyms are valid and operative, as in the ban remains in force. We have banned flies. No flies are allowed here, and it remains in force. It's still valid. It's still operative. Flies are not allowed. Get out, you flies. All right, that was it for the first form of force. And of course, I am not going to read the second form because that's going to be also very long in the next episode. But we can look at the etymology. It is from the Latin word fortis, which means strong. That's it. Very short. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. Today we had forbidden fruit. Forbidding, forebode, forby, and force. Whoo, let's see. Let's pick, is it forbidden fruit? Is it forbidden? Let's do just forbidden fruit as the word of the episode. Let's see. Ooh, this podcast is the forbidden fruit. It gives you pleasure, but it's illegal. Forbidden fruit. Forbidden fruit. All right. I am going to tell you about another movie. And here's the thing. This is the last movie on my list. Haven't watched any recently. This movie is called Turtles All the Way Down. And it was not one that I really knew anything about. But I had... I don't even know how deeply I can get into this or want to get into this. Well, I will say that I have been slowly reading a book called Determined, and I haven't read it for a long time, but right at the beginning of the book, they talk about this phrase, turtles all the way down, and it's all about free will or not free will. Do we have free will? If you look at something that happens, there is a reason that thing happened. There is a cause that made the effect happen, and I've talked about this before. And you go all the way down, there's always going to be something. And so turtles all the way down, there's a reason for that phrase, but it's kind of a metaphor for cause and effect going constantly. You can look all the way back, and there's a reason why we are here where we are, is because, oh, hello, Mike. Sorry, I hit you. There's a reason why we're here, because of all those things that have happened before. So turtles all the way down is sort of a metaphorical phrase for that. And I was curious about the movie based on, like, well, why are they using that phrase in that movie? And I still don't fully know. But the story, it's very good. It's light at times, but also very serious at times. It's about a high school girl who is dealing with some stuff. She's got some, I don't know, what would you call it? OCD kind of hypochondriac stuff going on, and there's, you know, she's got a love interest and a best friend and the dynamics, and there's some interesting stuff going on. But yeah, they did mention the phrase, but I don't remember if they really explain why they used the phrase. But I do like it. And the movie's good. Acting is great. And I'm actually going to try and get the writer on this show. We'll see if I can make that happen. I'm trying. So anyway, Turtles All the Way Down. Good show, especially if you're a teenager. Like, oh, I'm a teenager, and this is the stuff that I deal with. Kind of. Anyway, this has been Spencer dispensing information, looking very strange, less hairy today. Goodbye. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the files so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.